Hello and welcome to Bertone Beetle Bonanza, your Beatles fan podcast, a podcast for the fans by a fan. This is the podcast where we play Beatles music, talk about Beatles news, and just have general fun with other Beatles fans. My name is Bertone, and we are going to start things as we normally do with Real Love. That was the Beatles with Real Love. Hello, everybody. I'm Bertone, and welcome back to Bertone Beetle Bonanza. And this isn't a welcome back after last episode, last week type thing, because we have had an extended absence for the summer of 2012. I wasn't intending on it, and it's something that wound up happening, and I don't like to make excuses. I don't feel like this show is a place to make excuses, because those who have known the show for its full history know how things like this have happened in the past, and I don't like to make excuses and promises, but I do feel that I owe somewhat of an explanation. I have a full-time job during the day, and my hours, I went from working certain afternoon hours to working over, sometimes over 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, sometimes more. It was just really exhausting. And the free time that I did have at the end of the day after working these long 12-hour days was too exhausted to make the podcast. And this summer just got very, very out of control with my... Now that fall is here, that has changed somewhat. I have a lot more flexibility and... A lot more free time, so I'm hoping to get the show out on a regular basis again, hopefully weekly again like it was, but I don't like to make promises because I feel like you guys deserve better than promises. You deserve following through, so instead of telling you what I'm going to do, why don't I just show you? But in any case, lots of stuff has happened with the Beatles since I've been away, and I can't really go into every single little bits and news, so let's just hit the ground running, and let's talk about some music and random Beatles thoughts that I have. I've been listening to a lot of Paul McCartney's discography on my iPhone lately, and I was listening to From a Lover to a Friend, and that takes me back to... the 2000-2001 era, being a Paul McCartney fan around, or actually 2002 even too, he was still kind of promoting Driving Rain. Just that era when he was gonna get married to Heather Mills after everything that had happened with, you know, Linda having breast cancer and dying, and that song. Now Paul did say on the Howard Stern show that song, he's not sure what it's about, and if you listen to the lyrics, it does sound like it's about him, you know, moving on from being with Linda and being with Heather, but it's kind of confusing who the narrator's talking to. Is he talking to a friend? Is he talking to his dead wife? Is he talking to his new girlfriend? It's a little weird, but at the time when that song came out, it was a sweet song about a widower moving on with his life, but now knowing what was about to happen, you know, with him and Heather Mills and the debacle that relationship was, I hear that song and it makes me sad. It's like, oh, Paul, he doesn't know how hurt he's going to get. Oh, but it's still a nice song. In any case, here's Paul McCartney, circa about 10 years ago, with From a Lover to a Friend.
And when the time comes round,
Nice song. That song really, you know, puts me in a melancholy mood. That era brings back a lot of memories for me. That was I know I'm dating myself here, but I was in high school around the time that the Driving Rain album came out, and that was during the Driving USA tour, and that was when I really, really became a big Beatles and Paul McCartney fan, and I saw Paul live around that time. One thing about that song, and it's a problem that Paul has a lot, and particularly, you know, as much as I love Ram, he had this problem, you know, a lot during Ram, is he never knows how to end some of his songs. There's some songs like Backseat in My Car or Live and Let Die or, you know, 1985 have spectacular endings, but there's some songs like, you know, that just kind of go on and on and on, and they never really conclude, and I kind of feel like this one was one of them. Although, how do you end a song like that? Who knows? Let's go back in time, though. This isn't a Beatles song, per se, but it has three Beatles on it. It's Sour Milk Sea by Jackie Lomax. I gained a new appreciation for this song while listening to the Fab Four Free For All. It's another Beatles podcast that, well, they do a really, really great job. They were talking about this song on their show and about how they were surprised that this single didn't do as well as it should have, because, I mean, my gosh, it had three Beatles on it. The only Beatle not on it is John Lennon. Eric Clapton's on it, and you got Nicky Hopkins, you know, doing piano. It's an all-star cast. It's not almost a supergroup. It is a supergroup. But what they were talking about on the show was they were speculating that because it wasn't publicized, you know, everyone that was on the song as much, and because this was one of the first Apple singles released, you know, they didn't want to overly do everything. They talked about from a business angle why they couldn't promote some stuff and why it made more sense to promote other stuff, like, you know, Those Were the Days. But I hadn't heard the song in a while, and after I listened to Fab Four Free For All and them talking about the Apple days and them talking about this single, it made me go back and listen to it, and I have a different appreciation for it now, and they are right. This song should have been a lot bigger than it was, and it's really great. I almost give it the same criticism, though, that I give the last song, in that they're not really sure how to end it, but my gosh, what a great track. In any case, here is Sour Milk Sea by Jackie Lomax, with George Harrison on lead and rhythm guitars, Eric Clapton also on lead and rhythm guitars, Nicky Hopkins on piano, Paul McCartney on bass, Ringo Starr on drums, and of course Jackie Lomax on vocals.
Don't get the breaks like some of us do. It'll work it out, find where you've gone wrong.
Another thing that's important to mention about that song that I didn't bring up was that it was actually written by George Harrison, and it was going to be recorded for the White Album, but didn't make it on there because, well, let's face it, the Beatles had lots of stuff that was almost on the White Album. If they would have recorded all their songs, the White Album would have been more than a double album. It's time to bring back a segment of this show that was very, very popular and something that I enjoy doing. Let's see what the world is saying about the Beatles on Twitter. Someone named Mercy Pigute says, "Now I want to listen to the Beatles thanks to this guy on AGT. I don't know what AGT is. And someone said, "Can't get enough of their British accents and Beatles songs." I guess she's responding to a friend about the English. Someone named Springbean says, "Now I'm going to listen to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones." Somebody has a quote by the Beatles, "Are you going to be in my dreams tonight?" Liverpool attempts Beatles Guinness World Record next month, according to the Beatles update. I don't think I know what that is. Let me make a note to look that up during the next song, and I found out more about it. After asking Valerie Jarrett about drone strikes, I am walking around singing Beatles songs, Good Day Sunshine and Maxwell Silverhammer. And Happy Nate says, "Beatles Rarity of the Week, Move Over Miss L, alternate take." Well, that's actually a solo John Lennon song, but I suppose it counts as a Beatles rarity. I can, you know, I play songs that aren't considered Beatles. Kiki Martin says, "I wish I could marry the Beatles songs." Ugh, me too. Except I'd be a bigamist because I'd marry all of them. Somebody says, "I seriously might just unfollow Mr. Fifth Beatle. All he tweets about is the Beatles." I'll follow Mr. Fifth Beatle. If this person unfollows you, her name is Ellie Mohanty, I'll follow you. If all you talk about is the Beatles, I'll be your follower. Somebody said, "Please jump off a building. One Direction are better than the Beatles." I don't know if I tell a One Direction fan to jump off a building. That's a little extreme. Somebody, "Do you remember," the Twitter person says, "Today in 1965, the song Help by the Beatles topped the charts and stayed there for 3 weeks." Take that One Direction. This is a little political, but somebody says, "Obama was the Beatles in 2008. He's Spinal Tap in 2012. I'm not going to comment one way or another. It's election season. It's dangerous to say anything. The Beatles made all that money but could still only afford two microphones. That's funny. Because of how their configuration is on stage when sometimes they have to share the microphone. Well, that's just classic Beatles. If I had the effect on women that the Beatles had, it would be such a perfect world." Maybe for him. Oh! Apparently, on September 3rd, so I guess this is yesterday, Stella McCartney was born on this day in 1971. 41 years old today, which is also the day that Paul McCartney came up with the name Wings. So, interesting. So the name Wings is 41 years old, as is Stella McCartney. Fascinating. Ooh, L.A. Reid. He's a publicist. He used to promote, I think, Pink and Britney Spears and a lot of other people. Apparently, he was quoted as saying, "Justin has the Beatles hair, he has the lovability of Michael Jackson, and he has the talent of Elvis Presley." I love that out of all the tangible factors that he could have compared them to the Beatles, it was the hair. Not like their talent or songwriting or their voice, it was the hair. Okay, I'll give it to Justin. He's got Beatles hair. I can't really disagree with that. I don't hate Bieber. He's just, you know, not for me. And there's a post by someone that says, simply, "I love the Beatles." Lots of Spanish-speaking Beatles fans, because so many of these posts are in Spanish. Ask them who the Beatles is, and they'd be like, "There was a band named the Beatles." I don't even know what this person's talking about. Sometimes on Twitter, you just walk into the middle of a conversation. That's why I like Facebook better. Oh, that guy who had tweeted earlier about the world would be perfect if he, you know, could affect girls like the Beatles, he says, "It would also be perfect if I could sing and play instruments like the Beatles, too." Yeah. That would be a nice world. Heck, it would be a nice world if a lot of these, you know, modern-day musicians can sing, talk, move, and act like the Beatles. But that's one of the things that makes the Beatles so special. In fact, that kind of goes a little bit into the next segment that I wanted to do. I've done stuff like this in the past where I play the original song, then I play a cover version. I think I'm going to try and make it a regular thing, because there's enough Beatles cover songs out there that I want to do a Beatles, you know, cover song before and after type thing, where I'll play the original Beatles cut of the song, and then play a cover version that was done to kind of compare the two. Does it improve the song? Does it add anything new to it? Or is it just a pale imitation of what the Beatles did? We're going to start with a song called I Don't Want to Spoil the Party. First, we're going to do the Beatles version, and then we're going to do a version by Roseanne Cash.
So I'll go. I would hate my disappointment to show. There's nothing for me here, so I will disappear. If she turns up while I'm gone, please let me know. I've had a drink or two and I don't care. There's no fun in what I do when she's not there. I wonder what went wrong. I've waited far too long. I think I'll take a walk and look for her. Though tonight she's made me sad, I do love her. If I find her, I'll be glad. I do love her. I don't want to spoil her body, so I'll go. I would hate my disappointment to show. There's nothing for me here, so I will disappear. If she turns up while I'm gone, please let me know. There. I wonder what went wrong. Waited far too long. But I think I'll take a walk and look for her.
I would hate my disappointment to show.
I was never a fan of I Don't Want to Spoil the Party. It's one of the more unspectacular early Beatles songs. It's not a bad song per se, but it's just, you know, when it put up against stuff like 8 Days a Week and I'm a Loser, it's unspectacular. The first time that the song really got my attention was, and it might have been Roseanne Cash's version, I heard a country female vocal of the song. And, again, that's one thing where Beatles covers will win me over, is when they don't just, you know, take the arrangement and take the tempo, keep it the same, and sing the same song. If they change the tempo, or if they change the genre, it's, they put their own unique spin on it. That's when I like a Beatles cover, and that's one of the things that I like about Roseanne Cash's version of I Don't Want to Spoil the Party. Roseanne Cash, for those of you who don't know, she's the daughter of Johnny Cash, and not June Carter. That's a common misconception. June Carter's her stepmother. Her mother is Johnny Cash's first wife, a woman named Vivian. I have her autobiography that was published after she died. Some interesting stuff. I love Johnny Cash. I actually live in Newport Richey. Johnny Cash had a house in this city. In one of his biographies, he talks all about US 19, which is a road by me. Really interesting stuff. As I'm recording this, I hadn't even realized to do one of my favorite segments, which is 6 degrees of separation with the Beatles, which I don't always need to use all 6 degrees, but it's something fun to do. Steve J. Rogers, a loyal listener for many years, just emailed me, though, reminded me about it, asked me to do it with Star Wars. I feel like I've done Star Wars before. I really think I have, but if Steve's asking me, he's a loyal listener. He probably knows more about these episodes than I do, so maybe I haven't. If I already have and this is a repeat, oops, won't that be fun? But if I haven't before, yay. He's asking because I just recently went to Star Wars Celebration and had a great time there. I'm not going to talk too much about that, though, here, because I have a lot of different Star Wars outlets where I can talk about that, and this is a Talking Beatles show. But what does Star Wars have to do with the Beatles? First of all, Christopher Lee, who plays Count Dooku in Episodes 2 and 3, he is on the cover to Band on the Run, the Wings album. And then there's the fact that a lot of the Star Wars scores were recorded at Abbey Road Studios. And there is an interview with John Lennon around fall of 1980 at the Hit Factory promoting Double Fantasy, and you could hear some Star Wars sounds in the background. The reason being is that they were doing some remixes for The Empire Strikes Back at that studio, because I don't know exactly why, because Empire Strikes Back had been out for months, but you can very clearly hear the sound effects. And I know that different theaters had different audio tracks for it. I don't know, go figure. But there you go. The Beatles, Star Wars. And then, of course, if you want to go online, there is about, if you Google Beatles and Star Wars, there is a million Abbey Road Star Wars parodies out there, and I love them all. I love Beatles Star Wars mashups. In fact, while I was at Star Wars Celebration, I took a picture of it on my Facebook album. Somebody had on a Revolver shirt, but it was Revolver with the cast of Star Wars on it. Apple seems to be pushing forward with re-releasing these Beatles movies. We may get the Let It Be DVD, although it'll be Blu-ray now, sooner than we think. Because, you know, all that promotion around re-releasing Yellow Submarine earlier this year, now it's been recently announced that we're going to get a Blu-ray and DVD and some theatrical screenings for Magical Mystery Tour. What I find really interesting about that, though, is we're going to get a director's commentary from Paul McCartney. That's going to be something, just because of the kind of direction that there was in the movie and just, you know, what a farce that whole thing wound up being, even though it has its good moments. But I'd like to hear Paul's recollections, and hopefully it's not all, you know, Paul's revisionist history. Hopefully we get some of the funny stuff. I have a DVD set of, what's it called? But it's Paul McCartney's music videos and concert stuff throughout the years. And you can listen to Paul McCartney's commentary on the music videos that he did. And there's some fun stuff on there, so I'd like to see what he'll do for the whole movie. And, of course, there'll be lots of, you know, special features, documentaries, and big booklets if you buy the super expensive edition, which I might do. I didn't get a chance to see Yellow Submarine when they re-released it in theaters earlier this year because I was busy. This, hopefully, I'll try and do. And here's something that some of you may not have heard before. For the Magical Mystery Tour movie, there's an instrumental called Flying but you probably haven't heard the full version, which is over 9 minutes long. Maybe that's a little too much for some of you, but, you know, it's some funky Lennon, McCartney, Harrison, and Starkey, you know, composition. Because remember, this was during the psychedelic days, before they, you know, brought it back a little bit during the White Album. So, how far out did they get in this version of Flying? Let's find out.
Thank you.
There's a reason why that was cut down to a significantly shorter version that we all saw in the movie and on the soundtrack album. It kind of goes nowhere. In fact, there's even some silences in between because it's the Beatles playing with Tate Loops, back when playing with Tate Loops was like one of their favorite things. John and Yoko used to love it. There was like longer periods of silence that I cut down because I didn't want, you know, just dead air during the show. Now, from what I've read, and this is even on Wikipedia too, but I don't remember where I first read it, the longer sequence was supposed to have the bus actually flying, but then they realized, oh, we can't do that. It was one of the more ambitious ideas of the film that never got off the ground, no pun intended. Well, one thing that I was never able to give a proper review to after being, as Eric, my former co-host, said, was so excited about the box set deluxe re-release of Ram. After it came out, I never really got to give it a proper review on the show just because things got so busy. I think I may have mentioned it in the Denny Lane interview episode that I'm not going to give a full review of it here, but I discovered a lot of bonus tracks from different bootlegs and stuff that I only gave a once over when they were kind of unproduced and in bootleg quality. But A Love For You, that's a song that has a funny history. You know, it was around during, you know, the early 70s, and Paul never finished it up, but there were some overdubs done on it with the last incarnation of Wings, the Steve Hawley, Lawrence Juber version, and that's the version that lots of people have heard and various stuff like, you know, the different versions of Cold Cuts. And it did get put into a movie. I believe The In-Laws, I don't have it in front of me right now to look at, but I believe The In-Laws. But that's a different version. There's what they call the John Kelly mix, which is the early 70s version before the Steve Hawley and Lawrence Juber overdubs. And the song A Love For You, oh my gosh, it is one of my favorites from this album. Well, I say from this album, it's a bonus track. I don't consider it part of the original album, but part of this box set, which was really, really good. You know, speculation is that it'll win a Grammy like the Band on the Run box set did. I hope it does. In any case, here is A Love For You. Great song. Love the background vocals. And I say that Paul never knows how to end a song sometimes. This is one of the few cases where he ends it, and he ends it well. love that version of the song so much. I used to have on one of the Cold Cuts bootlegs the in-laws version of the song. I need to find that again. I couldn't find it on YouTube, and YouTube seems to be the place to find almost every song that isn't readily available anymore. In fact, it's where I found this next song that I'm going to play. It's Oasis doing a cover of You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, and I really... Oasis is kind of a mixed bag for people, very controversial because, you know, some members of the band were a little more outspoken, but I love what they do with the You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. Check it out.
Thank you. You've got to hide your love away.
Here I stand with head in hand. I turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on. Feeling 2 foot small. Everywhere people stare, each and every day. I can hear them laugh at me, and I hear them say, hey, you've got to hide your love away. Hey, you've got to hide your love away. How can I even try?
With their version of the Beatles, You've Got to Hide Your Love Away.
You can hear the little announcer at the end of the song because I cheated and took this from YouTube. I spoke about earlier how, you know, around Magical Mystery Tour, Sgt. Pepper, the Beatles were getting a little more funky and psychedelic, but reined themselves in around the time of the White Album, kind of, you know, a little more back to their roots, even though there was still some funky-ish stuff like Revolution Number 9. The songs were more rock and roll, you know, and less psychedelic for the most part, you know, stuff like Year Blues and Back in the USSR. That doesn't mean that the subject matter wasn't still weird. Here's one song from that album called Piggies, one of the songs that Charles Manson decided to make about something else, but a fun little short ditty all the same.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starch white shed? You will find
It's a fun little Beatles song. It's really sad what Charles Manson later did and used it for. George Harrison's mom actually contributed the Damn Good Whacking line, which I find that really eerie as it's fading into that little I didn't really mimic musical instruments too well. And there is an extra verse, which you can hear on the George Harrison Live in Japan CD. In fact, I'm going to try and remember to play that next week because it is really worth hearing. It is just about time to go. I want to thank everyone for being with me and for weathering my summer sabbatical. It didn't feel like a sabbatical because I was so busy during that period, but glad to be doing shows again. Like I said, I don't like to, you know, make promises. I like to try and fulfill them, so I don't really want to say too much about the future of the show. So why don't you guys just keep on checking back, and I'd like to be able to tell you that there'll be more shows. Now, hopefully that's something that I can follow through with. Speaking of following through, I've been working on this Wings book for a while. You guys have heard me talk about it in other episodes. I've set up a Kickstarter fundraiser page for that. You'll be able to find the link at bertonibeetle.libsyn.com and on the show's Facebook page. Check it out and donate. You won't be billed for 60 days, which from today, that'll be, as I'm recording this, it's September 4th. You won't be billed until November 4th if you make a donation. Any donation helps. I want to get this book made, and I want to get it made right. You can find more about the book, though, at the Kickstarter page. I'm not going to do the whole spiel here. Bertone Beetle Bonanza is sponsored by MDB Media, and MDB Media broadcasts us through Blog Talk Radio. Check them out, and listen to some of the other family of shows put out by MDB Media, because there's some great stuff on there. You can email me at bertonibeetle.libsyn.com, and don't forget to like our Facebook fan page. Leave us a review on iTunes, you know, just generally keep in touch. I like to hear from you guys. There's also some other great Beatles podcasts to check out. I mentioned Fab Four Free For All earlier, and there used to be Fab Forum. They have great roundtable discussions about the Beatles. When I work out, I listen to them in my MP3 player, and I just get lost in some of their discussions, and I wind up learning a lot because I am a second-generation, probably even third-generation Beatles fan because I was born in 1985. Again, I'm dating myself, but these guys, I'm not calling them old. I don't know how to do this without calling them old, though. They have a much different perspective than me because they lived this stuff. You know, they were there when this stuff was being promoted. Then they have some interesting observations about it. So when you're done listening to this podcast, check out theirs. Anyway, we're going to leave as we always do with Ringo doing You and Me, Babe. See you later, everybody.
Oh. everyone involved. This is the plastic we're making. Good old Jim Cowper, Klaus Voormann, Nicky Hopkins, George Harrison, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Richard Perry for producing this masterpiece. Bill Schnee, ever smiling, ever welcome. Vinny Pontediero and all his other friends. And everyone else who joined in and helped us on this wonderful record. So it's a big good night from your friend and mine, Ringo Starr.